Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. I wanted to do this afternoon's show because of the recent shows that I've listened to, and these individuals were adamant, or they adamantly proclaimed that Jesus was not coming again. And their words were very interesting, but the body language was even more interesting regarding these individuals. Let me tell you that such individuals are indeed false prophets. They are false teachers. In the Greek, they are called pseudo-didaskaloi. Pseudo-didaskaloi. The Greek word for teacher is didaskalos. The teacher teaches didaskalia in the Greek. And so these individuals say that Jesus is not coming again. And as I listened to them, I was immediately made aware of their lack of training, but they have the gift of verbosity. They're not very deep. They could most certainly turn a phrase. And so the presentations that I listened to were not very deep or scholarly. They were most certainly not orthodox. They were very superficial and meant to convince more on emotion, argumentum ad hominem, argument to the man, more than reason or deep research. This is what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And here's the indictment. Peter wrote in verse 5, this is 2 Peter 3:5, and he states, for this they willfully forget that the word of God, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now note, and notice, that in verse 5, Peter speaks to their culpability. He says, for this they willfully forget. And so this is very, very powerful. And it's very important that the people of God understand that the Bible, as the Word of God, has anticipated the coming of false teachers who will proclaim that Jesus is not coming again. But the Bible tells us that he indeed is coming again. But that, and as I read on in chapter 3, we have these words. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So they do not understand the doctrine of grace. They did not understand the doctrine of the grace of God. God is not willing that any should perish. According to John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, as we move on from 2 Peter chapter 3, and I go to Hebrews chapter 6, we have these words. I'm going to start at verse 18. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. And I love this verse. This in Titus, we read the same thing. Paul talks about the God who cannot lie in the book of Titus. And so we hear, and so in this verse we have the same doctrine. It is impossible for God to lie. Judas, God does not lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now, hope in the Greek New Testament for us, for believing ones, for the called out ones, means confident expectation toward the future. Confident expectation toward the future. And let me tell you that these pseudo-didaskaloi, these false teachers, want to crush your hope. They, not your dreams, they want to crush your hope. What happens when there is the absence of hope? Well, many individuals despair. And so hope is wonderful and powerful and invigorating. Hope stabilizes us. And the pseudo-didaskaloi want to destabilize your soul. Notice the powerful words in the Word of God. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which, now notice the direction of this anchor, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, that is Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, that is the eternal priesthood of Melchizedek, not the Aaronic priesthood, but the priesthood of Melchizedek, king of Salem. As we go on and we read also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, states, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, the writer speaks of an anchor of the soul so that we do not drift away. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we read, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And so it is imperative, beloved, that you and I understand the Word of God, and that we be not like those of old, be like those who wandered for 38 years and 9 months in the wilderness, because they maligned the character of God. The people of God stood against the character of God. They slandered him. They slandered his promise. They slandered his character. And in the Old Testament, slander means to stand against the life of another. It is a very severe sin. And so notice in Hebrews chapter 4, and beginning in verse 2, the writer states, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." So we have a banking term. The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So again, we have this word heard. In Hebrews 2:1, we have the word heard. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, we have the word heard. In Deuteronomy 6:4, we have the Shema, which begins, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is what?" And so in Greek, we have akouo, which means to hear with a view to obeying. Those who hear the word of God must hear the word with a view to obeying the word. See, to hear the word of God is imperative. And notice that these individuals in the wilderness wandering did not believe the word. The word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What am I saying? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and read that the journey from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, which borders the Promised Land, was a mere 11-day journey. That 11-day journey turned into almost 40 years of wandering in the desert because they slandered God. An 11-day journey took 40 years. Why? Because of the flesh. They did not want to hear God. They did not want to obey God. Now listen to what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 beginning in verse 18. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience," having faith and a good conscience. In Hebrews 11:1, we are given the definition of faith. Please read Hebrews 11:1. "With which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to what? Not to blaspheme." This is a very serious and very important doctrine. You and I, that we are to hold firm to Jesus. We are not to hear with a view to obeying the lies and the pseudo-didaskaloi. Don't listen to the false teachers. They do not love you. They did not die for you. They want you to hear their terrible words, which discourage your soul. Beloved, listen to Jesus. Find your rest in Jesus. Find your rest in the Word. Believe the Word of God. Jesus has shed his blood for us, that you and I might be set free. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.